from Paris to Portland. You've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
And good afternoon, happy Saturday, and welcome to your travel show. I'm Jason Cochran.
And I'm Pauline Fromer.
And before we get too deep and I tell you where Pauline is traveling today, because she is traveling, I'd like to give everybody our phone number right off the top, because we want to take your calls. That's what the show is all about. We like to talk to you about your travel plans, your travel stories, your travel questions, basically anything related to travel. Regular listeners know that that's what we depend on. That's what our show is about each and every week. The number is 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We also keep our eye on Twitter. Our account there is Fromers, named after the guidebook company that we are with, Fromers. There we go. That's the basics. We'll give you the email address, too, just in case you want that. That is FromerTravelShow@yahoo.com. With all of that business out of the way, the table is set. We're going to talk to Pauline. Pauline, you are remote right now, but where are you remote from?
I'm so lucky. I'm looking out at the ocean. It's this kind of slate blue. There are these gorgeous flowers everywhere, also blue. And I'm in Nantucket. Aren't you jealous?
Yeah, a little bit. What's the temperature there?
Temperature's probably in the 80s.
Nice and breezy, yeah.
Breezy, no humidity. Everybody's biking around, looking very preppy, having a good time. It's just such a beautiful island. And because it was such a strange spring, it was very cold here, very wet. The flowers waited to blossom until right now. We have a lot of the spring flowers coming out now. So the whole island is awash in colors, which is perfect for Bastille Day. Happy Bastille Day to everyone.
That is today, the 14th.
Today, July 14th, is Bastille Day. So we wanted to have our question of the day be about that. What are your favorite French experiences? And by French experiences, I mean those in France or in destinations that were touched by France. Perhaps New Orleans, perhaps the French Caribbean, perhaps the parts of Africa that France colonized. What do you think of as a great French travel experience? And for me, I go to France probably once a year because I have family there. So we go there a lot. I love it. Every time I go, I have wonderful experiences. But what really warms my heart, I think back to when I was hugely pregnant and in Paris. And I have never been treated as well in my life at any other time than when I was pregnant in Paris. Hmm. People would jump up to open the doors for me. If I entered a metro car, they would jump up to give me their seat. I had a man run out of a patisserie to offer me sweets. It was funny. They were doing this experiment, which I think has actually become part of what they do in Paris, where they shut down all the streets except to bikers and walkers and pedestrians. And my cousin wanted to drive. He had a car. So he put me in the front seat. And whenever we got stopped, he would say, "Emergency, emergency," and point to my big belly. And so we were the only people driving around Paris illegally. But it was just such a great experience.
Completely contrary to the stereotype of Paris that people have. They're very, very polite. They're
very polite. They're like New Yorkers. Very warm. I don't know what it was that warmed their hearts about seeing a pregnant woman, but I had so many people just come up to me out of the blue telling me how beautiful I looked. And I guess they have a declining population and they want to really encourage pregnant women. I don't know, but it was encouraging.
Well, maybe the listeners have a few bits of Gallic rhapsodies of their own to share with us. The number for that is 800-848-9222. Doesn't have to be about France, although it could be. Any other question to do with travel. Dominic from Brooklyn is our first caller today. He's coming in first. Come on in, Dominic. How you doing? You're live on the air.
Hello, how are you, Pauline? Hello, Jason, hey. Long-term listener. I have first a comment about your question about France, your best French experience, and then I have a question about Copenhagen. Last year I was in Paris, and we overslept, and we missed our tour. So we took out our Froma's Easy Guide to Paris, and we did one of the walking tours instead of going on the guided tour we were supposed to. We had the best time. We discovered the island. I think they call it St. Louis, right behind Notre Dame.
Yep, Ile Saint-Louis, that's right.
Some great little restaurants. And we found a beautiful church. It was a little old, dusty old church, but it was fantastic on the inside. And literally, it was like a block away from Notre Dame. I don't remember the name of the church, but it was one of the most beautiful little churches I've ever seen.
It wasn't Saint-Chapelle, was it?
I quite honestly do not remember. That's pretty near to
Notre Dame. But yes, I have to say we have a wonderful Paris author. She's British. She's lived in Paris for many years, and her walking tours are so amazing. The last time I was there, I took her one to Montmartre. And for a lot of tourists who go to Montmartre, which is this big hill, used to be its own village. It's where Picasso and all his buddies hung out in the 20s, 30s. And a lot of tourists who go there only go to this main square, which is incredibly touristy. But she takes you to these places that remind you that it was once a village. For example, you actually see windmills and you see the nightclubs where these guys boozed it up and their former apartments. And it's just great. I actually prefer taking the walking tours in our books to doing group tours because you can stop, you can have a drink, you can
walk in
hang
the doors.
With people. It's
fun.
Exactly.
Go into shops. You just sort of do your own thing.
I love the walking tours. I buy you guys all the time. I have a nice little library. I love to show them off when my friends come over.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful.
And you had a question about Copenhagen, too, didn't you, Dominic?
We're leaving for Copenhagen in 2 weeks, and I've got some conflicting information. I've been told by some sources on the Internet that when you use your credit card, you need a 4-digit PIN number in Copenhagen, in Denmark.
Now, credit card purchases. Everybody in Europe requires a chip, which, of course, now most American cards have. And they, in Europe, will use a PIN in association with that chip. Generally, at most places you go to, if you tell them, hi, I have a signature card, that means you don't use a PIN because you're American. They're used to that. Every now and then you'll find a place, I think H&M clothing is one of them, a few other ones, where their computers just don't know how to process you unless you have that European PIN number. And in that case, sometimes it's hard to make a purchase. There's two ways to get around it. Either you avoid those places, not so easy. Sometimes you can get your credit card issuer to give you a PIN ahead of going so that you'll have it ready to go. It all depends on your issuer and if they're capable of it. But generally, I find that not having a PIN hasn't been much trouble for me. When I travel in Europe, you just tell them you have a signature card, they get a PIN, they print out a receipt. They're just used to doing it the other way. You might have to remind them. Now, if it's an ATM card you're talking about, or your friends might have been telling you an ATM makes withdrawals out of your bank account, you do have to have a PIN for that no matter what, but that won't be a problem because you already do anyway, I'm sure.
Exactly. I called my credit card and they told me the same thing, that I wouldn't need it, but I wanted to double check with you too.
Yeah, sometimes there's a vending machine won't be programmed properly. I've had it where I put my card in the vending machine, it tells me there's something wrong with my card, call your bank. It just meant that they couldn't figure out how to do it without a PIN. There was nothing wrong with my card. So you might sometimes get error messages, but it doesn't happen a lot. It just happens just enough to be annoying. A third way that not everyone will want to do, but I sometimes do, is I have an iPhone and I set up Apple Pay with using the card, and that can get around it as well because it's considered a form of authentication. So if you have some sort of wallet, some sort of wireless payment on your phone, you can often use that instead, and that'll get around the problem of not having a PIN. Pauline, what do you think about this?
Well, and there are some people who then get one of those throwaway credit cards, one of those credit cards that you can put just a set amount of money on and use just for a set amount of time, and you can get those in chip and PIN varieties in Europe. So that's another way around it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. We have to take our first break. Anybody who'd like to call us, do you have anything to share about France or about French destinations or just about your own trip coming up? 800-848-9222 is the number. Before we go to our commercial break, let me tell you something about our sponsor. Our sponsor is Allianz Travel Insurance. You've heard me talk about them before. That's because we think that they offer a service that travelers need. What is that service? They have your back. If things go wrong, they can help you out. And the things that can go wrong that they cover, and this is not a complete list, you might lose your luggage, you might not make your ferry or your plane or your car rental could have issues. You might get sick, you might have to be medevaced out. In those situations and so many others, travel insurance can really help. To learn more about Allianz Travel Insurance, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Frommer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And we also hope that you'll give us a call. Our number is 800-848-9222. We're talking about France. We're talking about vacations. And you know, earlier I was talking about being pregnant in France. Well, that time I was pregnant with my daughter, Veronica. And boy, oh boy, is she having a summer adventure now. Kind of a scary one. They say ignorance is bliss, but we got a call from her this week saying, well, I've had quite the week. She's a camp counselor at a camp in Canada, and it's called a tripping camp, which means they go on these long adventures in the woods where they canoe places, they portage canoes, which means they carry them sometimes for a kilometer or two over their heads. They cook all their own stuff. It's very deep wilderness stuff. So this week, she canoed out with her campers who are 12 to 14 years old. And they had bad headwinds, so they got to their first stop a little later than expected. And then they were portaging, and her campers kept thinking they saw bears. And so they kept dropping things and not going down the trail. So it took much longer to get to the end of the trail than it was supposed to. But that turned out to be the best luck ever, because when she got to the end of the trail, she found there was a big forest fire in front of her there. So they got on the satellite phone back to their base camp, and they were told, don't go back where you came. There's a fire there too. And they spent the next couple of days, I think it was 4 days, outrunning these fires. In fact, the fires got to their base camp. She was calling me from a Red Cross center because they had to evacuate the camp. I mean, it really says something, I think, about climate change, that Canada, a place that was always consistently wet, damp, cold, even Canada is aflame. Did you know about these fires?
No, but my first thought is, did you know this was, how many days into this did you know this was happening? I mean, as a mother, you must be flipping out.
I didn't know about it till she came back. The camp never told us. I guess they knew. I had no idea. I mean, and she had, they kept going to places and then getting a call on the satellite phone saying, get out of there. She said the campers, you know, they were supposed to canoe, you know, a certain number of miles per day. They did in one day as much as they were supposed to do in 5 days. And then they did that amount the next day because they kept having to use this. They had to use this zigzag course to get back because so much of the area was on fire.
Did they ever feel directly threatened, or was it just sort of like they knew they had to keep moving? I mean, was it ever in front of them in an urgent way?
They could smell it. They could see it. It never was right on top of them. At one point, they were canoeing into a campsite, and suddenly they saw a helicopter going really low, and they thought, oh, is it really bad? Have they come to rescue us, or why are they going so low? What's going on? And the helicopter had spotted them and was giving them frantic signals, don't go that direction. There's a fire. And then they got another call from the satellite phone, and they changed course once again.
So which province of Canada was this in?
Well, it's around Lake Temagami, which is an Ontario province. Huh. But there's terrible fires there. I'd heard about the ones out west in the United States, but until our daughter called us from this Red Cross camp, we had no idea she was in danger, which is probably pretty lucky for us. I would have been flipping out. You're right.
Thank goodness for satellite phones. I mean, a great invention if you're going to go backwoods camping, right?
Yeah, although towards the end of this adventure, they started losing all their power to the satellite phone. So luckily, they were able to get back to base camp before it fully died. But I see we have calls. Why don't we talk to Elizabeth?
John, in Elizabeth,
New Jersey.
Yes, Pauline. First, I listen to your show often. You're one of the nicest people on the airwaves.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Well, it's not kind. You're just nice. Anyway, I called you several years ago about an R&R visit I had to Penang, Malaysia, when I was a Marine in Vietnam. But this call is about one of my first encounters with French-Canadian people when I worked at the Mount Washington Hotel in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, what it was is they had a convention of French-Canadians, and I was waiting on a large table of French-Canadians. And I was the one that was serving the wine. And they were very playful with me. I'd try to serve the wine, they'd grab my arm, they'd laugh, and they kept doing all these stunts. And then when they'd laugh, I'd laugh with them. And finally, after a couple minutes, one of them stood up and he said, you, sir, are a very good sport. He said, you are a very good sport indeed. And they all came up and pat me on the back.
Wow.
I just love the, sometimes everything up in New England so straight-laced and everything. These people were just so jolly and playful and just lovable people.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think of what the French Canadians have brought to the world. One of what pops to mind to me is Cirque du Soleil, which is the most playful, joyous artistic experience. And that comes from the mindset of French Canadians.
And then one other thing, you know, they used to have a show at night for the different convention goers. And this very serious singer got up with a tuxedo, and he was singing this song, "Oh, Sinner Man." And a couple French Canadians, they jumped up on the stage. One of them grabbed the microphone. The other bumped him off the stage. And then they started doing this French dance, and everybody was just clapping and laughing. It was a hilarious thing, you know.
Wow.
I wonder what kind of stories they tell about the Americans and the goofy things that we do. Thank you very much, John.
We do some goofy things.
I appreciate that call.
Besides the French Canadians at all.
Right. No, we love the French Canadians. We love all the Canadians. I remember one of the funniest times I ever had in Canada was I went to a comedy club. I think it was in Toronto. And every single comedian, their whole shtick was about how Canada was much better than the United States. And I was thinking, wow, we're not even thinking to be competitive with the Canadians. But it's this big thing here. I thought it was really hilarious. But anyway, have calls for us. 800-848-9222 is our number. That's 800-848-WABC for those who prefer to spell it out. We would love to talk to you. We also take calls via email, and we got a good one. This is from, this is interesting. They sign their name as, Young Joe. So I don't know if that's their actual name or they just are feeling very youthful. It says, This will be our first trip to Costa Rica. I'm following your Costa Rica Highlights itinerary, which is a 7-day trip, but we have 9 nights and we're wondering, what would you recommend? Would you say we should stay extra nights at Arenal National Park, Monteverde, or Manuel Antonio? So this is in our book, Fromer's Costa Rica. We give sample itineraries, which are really useful to follow, and we suggest that you go from, you fly into San Jose, Costa Rica, and then you go immediately to Arenal. Arenal is this volcanic landscape. About a decade ago, the volcano was active, and that was very exciting because you would actually see lava coming down and big boulders shooting out of the top. It hasn't been active for about a decade, but it still is a wonderful place for hot springs because there's still a lot of geothermic activity there. So usually you go to Arenal first, stay there 2 nights, and then you take a day kind of driving by the lakes, shore of Lake Arenal. And if you have extra time, that's where I would recommend you go. Not many people stop in that area, but it's a beautiful area with all kinds of adventures you can have. You could go horseback riding. It's considered one of the best windsurfing destinations in the world. So a lot of people do windsurfing when they're there. There's some interesting cultural sites in that area. Yeah, you could spend extra time in Monteverde, which is the cloud forest. I mean, the nice thing about this itinerary is it takes you first to a rainforest with geothermic activity. That's Arenal. And then you go to Monteverde, which is a cloud forest, so a different ecosystem. And then you go to Manuel Antonio, which is probably the most popular place in all of Costa Rica because it's both a rainforest and it's on the beach. You can also go swimming in the Atlantic Ocean there. But because Manuel Antonio, quote unquote, has everything, because it has this variety of different adventures, I think it's a little over-touristed. So I would stop at Lake Arenal. I hope that helps. That person wrote to us at FromerTravelShow@yahoo.com. You can always get your questions answered at 800-848-9222. We have to take a break, but do give us a call and we'll be right back.
The most popular destinations for you and your family right here. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran, The Fromer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
That's right. Welcome back to the second half of the Travel Show on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon. I'm Jason Cochran with Pauline Fromer, who is, in Nantucket today.
Yes.
So we've got a lot going on. But
Lucky me. There's a lot
of stuff happening on the call lines as well. If you want to call 800-848-9222, that's the number that Patricia from Rocky Point called. Hi, Patricia. You're live on the Travel Show. How can we help you?
Enjoyed the show immensely. We have visited Scotland only on a cruise where we've touched some of the cities around it. What we'd like to plan, and we need some help with this, we don't know where to start. What we'd like to do is actually go during the tattoo that they have. I think it's in August usually each year. And then also take a train around the country so that we can wind up eventually in Southampton to get on the Queen Mary 2 to come home. So we don't know where to start as far as of how to plan the Scotland journey using trains.
Scotland's not that hard to get around in. I don't always recommend people use cars if they're going to be going to lots of cities. And if it's a first-time trip, you know, Edinburgh, Glasgow, you're going to have harder time parking. So trains will take care of all of the major cities. So that's easy. And they go very regularly between all these cities. You forget that Britain is very oriented towards public transportation. Most of the people don't own cars in especially the cities. So it'll be easy finding public transportation. But there are also some bus lines throughout Scotland. National Express, Stagecoach are two of the big ones. And they also go extremely regularly. We mean like every half an hour, every hour. So it won't be hard to find ways to get around. And it'll take you right to the middle of town each time, too, so you don't have to really worry about how to get in. So I think that'll take care of most of your problems, and most of your hotels will also be able to advise you on day trips. If you want to go out somewhere more rural, like Loch Ness or something in the middle of the Highlands, they're very, very common, and because everyone has the same question as you, and everyone needs the same thing as you.
How far in advance would it be that we should make a reservation for the tattoo season where they have that big military?
Well, if you're going next month, you should have made it already. I think it'll be very difficult because the tattoo in front of the castle is one of the most popular tourist spectacles in all of Europe. You can try to get a return ticket. It does happen because it's a huge number of people. But really, for the tattoo, you should be trying about 6 months ahead of time.
My worry is the tattoo is this incredible military show where there are lots of marching bands, people in kilts, bagpipes. It's extraordinary. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing to see. It's happening at the same time as the Edinburgh Festival, which brings thousands upon thousands of artists and audiences to Edinburgh. So I'm very worried about you, not just because of the tattoo, getting tickets to that, but if you don't have a place to stay in Edinburgh yet, you may be out of luck. It's one of these types of events that really is really has to be done in advance. I don't want to be negative, but I'm worried.
You can stay in Glasgow and then take a 40-minute train back and forth to Edinburgh. A lot of people even do that for work. So you're not completely out of luck. But if you want to stay in Edinburgh, you're probably out of luck at this point in the game.
Thank you. We're actually planning it for about a year from now.
Perfect.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Great.
Good. Yeah.
Start now.
It should be fun. Yeah, start now. Absolutely. And it's so worthwhile. You're going to enjoy both the tattoo and the festival. Give yourself a couple of nights in Edinburgh just to run around to the different arts events because it really is like no other place in the world.
And the Queen Mary 2 is a dream. You'll get down to Southampton. You can get there easily on train. And the Queen Mary 2, Cunard, will arrange transfers from the train station from there. So that won't be too hard.
Wonderful. Thank you for your help. Really
appreciate
it.
Thank you. All right. Let's turn to Marianne in Long Island. Hey, Marianne. Nice to speak with you.
Hi. I try to listen to your show every week. I really love it. I just got back from France about a week ago. My husband and I and my family went on a barge trip. On the canal, and it was wonderful.
How wonderful.
It was wonderful and relaxing, and they...
Did you drive your own barge, or did someone else drive it for you?
No, it has a captain and everything. Yeah. They have to be schooled and educated in it, and it where they stop and where they moor, I believe, has to be all planned out ahead of time. But this is an American company that we've used twice now. And I can't say enough good things about them. And we got to see some wonderful little towns in the Upper Loire Valley. And they serve you wonderful food and wine if you're into a nice, relaxing vacation. And then we wound up in Paris for a few days and had a few fun days in Paris. But another wonderful French experience we had a few years ago was when we went to Normandy. It's very moving to go there and to see and to know what went on there almost 70 years ago.
Sure.
And it's a wonderful place for all Americans to experience.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Normandy is it's a spectacular place to begin with, and then you have this history layered on top of it.
Yes.
And they're very pro-American there as well.
They
I know there are people who are
very welcoming in a lot of little villages, and we had a guide. A young man who was very, very knowledgeable, and my husband is kind of a history nut on World War II, and we just hit it off with him, and he went above and beyond whatever he was scheduled to do with us that day, and told us all the history that, and we actually see it, and the amazing feat that took place there. It gives you a great appreciation of America.
That's right. And then also
absolutely.
Many of the soldiers are buried there, too, so you can actually pay tribute yourself.
It's just an experience that if you can do it, you should try to do it.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Well, thank you for bringing that up because, you know, as we're celebrating Bastille Day and celebrating the French, I think really what we're celebrating is our long commitment between the two nations. We have been allies since our Revolutionary War. I mean, they came to our aid then and they have many times over the centuries since. So thank you. Let's try and squeeze in a call from Betsy in Yonkers before we go to commercial break. Hey, Betsy, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
I lived in Paris. I was pregnant in Paris. And and this is my poem, Sentimental Journey. Paris on Sunday, memories flooding back, sights and sounds seen and heard before, retracing my steps on these very streets to the home I knew then. Seeing the park, the cafe, matching my memory, incredibly the same. Scenes replaced, unable to survive the years. Being there, reliving it all, this time in my mind, the good years.
That's great.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy.
Yeah, all about travel.
I think it's the first time we've ever had a travel poem on the show.
No, it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. We have to take a break now. We will do so. We will also thank our sponsor, which is Allianz Travel Insurance. And they have a bit extra for people who buy their policies. You're going to get Frommer's information for about 24 destinations. This will cover the best places to go, how to create an itinerary, and a lot more. To learn all about this, to learn about Allianz's travel policies for insurance, visit allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianztravelinsurance.com.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And let's get right back to the phones. 800-848-9222 is our number, and that's the number that Stephen in Manhattan called. Hey, Stephen, nice to speak with you.
I'm going to Paris. Do you tip in bistros and cafes?
You tip a little bit. It's not the 15 to 20% we give here in the United States, but they are getting used to tips there and expect them, especially for from Americans. So £1 or £2 usually, euros. If it's a really fancy dinner, maybe a little bit more than that. Jason, do you agree?
Yeah, that's you don't do nearly 20% like we do here. Just a couple euro, and especially if there's a language barrier and they had to work a little harder. It's nice to give them a little something, and maybe a euro or so in a taxi. But if you're having a coffee, it's $1.50. Maybe bump it up to $2. Don't have to go, you know, the whole hog, but not a lot, not a ton, just a tiny bit.
Great.
All right. Have a wonderful time. Let's turn to Lloyd in Staten Island. Lloyd, we thank you so much for your patience.
Yes, I'm calling. I'm not asking my travel agent this because I plan things way in advance, and some of them I don't go on. I was going to take one of the Frommer's River tours, the Rhine one that goes from Amsterdam to Basel, Switzerland, or goes the other way.
And if I we don't have river tours. Frommer's only is a journalism.
The book I'm saying.
Okay.
And I wanted to know Amsterdam be easy because I'm sure that city, I've heard of it, will have a big airport. Is there a big airport in Basel, Switzerland? Do I have to go to Zurich? Would it take something to get me from Basel? That's where the boat we go from or stop at. Do I have to take from Basel to Zurich or something?
You'll have more options that are nonstop. There is an airport in Basel, but I don't think there are any direct flights, meaning you'll have to stop somewhere else on the way back home to New York City. So an hour away by train, you'll find Zurich. Zurich has a lot more options. You can probably find cheaper flights out of Basel. You'll just have to stop in London or something on the way home, but you will find an airport there.
Yeah. You know what a lot of people do in Europe nowadays? They find a good round trip to one destination, like Amsterdam. And then they use the cheap upstart airlines of Europe, like Ryanair or EasyJet, to do maybe a one-way. So you could possibly do a round trip into Amsterdam and then a one-way from Basel to Amsterdam. And that might end up being more cost-effective.
Yeah.
But you'd have to research it. Thank you for your patience. We really appreciate it. Who do we have next?
Louis in New Jersey.
Louis, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Good afternoon, ma'am. I just came back from Italy. My brother and I were celebrating that our wives went on a trip, so we decided we'd take a lifetime trip to Italy. We landed in Milan, drove close to 4 hours by small economy car to Siena, stayed in one of the castellos. And one of the issues, and I listen to the show every other weekend because I'm always on the road, so I knew better. A couple of the two different hotels we stayed at did not have air conditioning to the extent that here, being a spoiled American, which I'll obviously call myself, they didn't have it like we have it. And they were telling me, oh, it works fine. It was only a few degrees different. Is that indicative of maybe I just picked a couple of bad spots? Or is that something like an energy situation where they don't really use it?
I think that's just the way it is in Europe. Until recently, I mean, you've always needed it in Italy. That's pretty far south, so it does get hot. But until recently, places like the UK, like most parts of France, like Germany, it never got that hot. And so they never had air conditioning. It may also have to do with our weight. Often the more weight you have, the hotter you get. And Europeans tend to have a different diet, so they're not as heavy as Americans. And so I think because of that, the standard is not as chilly as it is here. I don't think you made the wrong decisions. I think pretty much everywhere you would have gone would have had very light air conditioning, nothing like the chill we have here.
You have to find intentionally a resort that has air conditioning and advertises it. Some of the more expensive places will have put it in recently in the last 10 or 15 years to please American customers. But, you know, they think, well, you go to the park if you're hot. That's sort of the European mindset is, well, why would you be inside when a hot day? You go out and go to the river. So it's something that is, as Pauline says, a cultural change that's slowly happening. And it is, of course, also an energy consideration, too. The cheapest hotels, you know, probably can't even afford to run the air conditioner the way most Americans would like to run it.
Yeah.
One last thing I just wanted to say, and I've never called or spoken to any of you folks before. We did not get insurance. I end up catching pneumonia and having to fly home 3 days early.
Italian
airline wanted to charge us $3,000 to come home early, where I booked a ticket on a domestic airline, no joke, for a $2,000 ticket. I mean, I made every mistake in the book, having heard the show, so I have no policeman, and I should know better. But
yeah,
we thought it was so simple to just book, you know, an airline and a hotel, and it's not that simple.
It's not always that simple. Yeah. Well, thank you for giving us that cautionary tale. That was very helpful. We have to take one last break, but we will have time when we get back for more calls. The number is 800-848-9222.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show. Only here, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Travel Show. Yes, there is time for that call that you've been wanting to make but have been putting off. The number is 800-848-9222. Mike from Paterson, New Jersey, you've been hanging on for a while. How can we help you? You're live.
Oh, hi. Yeah, great show as always. I was going to talk about Japan, but since your show is dedicated to France, I'll switch over. I'll never forget my first French meal. It was in New York City at I forget the name of the restaurant, but Andre Salter was the owner, and it was like the number one restaurant in the city in the 80s. I forget the name of it, but I'm thinking about going to visit an old friend up in Lyon. I haven't been here in 25 years. Has Lyon changed much in 25 years?
It's still considered one of the best places in all of France for food. I mean, it hasn't changed that much, except to get better. It's become a place where foodies go on pilgrimages. In fact, we have a great story on Frommers.com about why you should go to Lyon. But, you know, the historic core is still intact. It's as beautiful as ever, but now many star chefs are there. I hope that helps. Let's turn to Kate in Bloomingdale, New Jersey. Hi, Kate. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I have a question. I'm going to either Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket with some girlfriends for about a week. We could only
To choose between the two. Do you know what time of year you'll be there?
We plan to go sometime in the fall.
Okay. Neither of them are big fall destinations. In fact, a lot of Nantucket closes down after about mid-October. So if it's after mid-October, I would suggest Martha's Vineyard. They'll be more open there. They're both great. It's funny. There's a joke that the Republicans go to Nantucket and the Democrats go to Martha's Vineyard. I don't know if that's true, but that's apparently who owns the houses. In terms of Nantucket, it just has such extraordinary history here. This was one of the richest places in the entire United States in the 1800s because this was a major whaling capital. And at that point, whale oil was so, was incredibly valuable. Isn't it funny? It's always the oil. So because of that, there is these extraordinary mansions. When the whaling industry died, basically because they found new ways to light lamps and electricity came in, the people on Nantucket were very smart and they realized that tourism would be their big moneymaker. And so they preserved the entire island. So when you drive around, there's this unity to the architecture, which is extraordinary. They don't allow different types of houses. Everything is shingled in this gray wood, and it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful island. So I guess you can tell where I'm coming down. But Martha's Vineyard is wonderful, too.
Is there a way to go from one island to the other without going to
mainland? Sure, there's a ferry. There's a ferry, although it doesn't run as often in the fall. But it takes the hydrofoil, which is high speed, takes only about an hour. The slower ferry, which you can take your car on, will take about 3 hours or 2 hours, I think. But you can absolutely go from one to the next, and many do. Let's turn next to Jason. You pick.
Eugene had a memory of France you'd like to share. Eugene's calling from Beacon. Hi, Eugene. We just have a couple minutes left. What do you want to share with us?
Well, very quickly, the Pont du Gard Aqueduct in southern France, it's just what the word said. It's a three-tier Roman aqueduct. It's some 1,900 years old, and the memory I have is literally climbing all over this monumental piece of architecture. I will never forget it as long as I live.
And where was this?
In southern France. I want to say in Provence, but I'm not 100% sure. It's off of the Rhone River. It's in, I think it's in Provence, but I'm not 100%, but it's an incredible piece of work.
I'm assuming this is one of the ones that the ancient Romans built?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are incredible. They litter France, and it reminds you of the might and smarts of that empire. So thank you so much for calling. Let's try and squeeze in Vivian from New Jersey. Vivian, you are live on the show. Got about 2 minutes.
Hi. Paris and France are one of my favorite places. And on our second visit about 20 years ago, we stayed on the left bank in a very small hotel in Saint-Germain, and we couldn't get our suitcase in the elevator. The hotel was so small. So I'm in the car with my husband. We were together, and we had to get the suitcase unstuck and carry it up these little stairs. But then
we also went to a
market there, I think Marché aux Puces, and I'll never forget, I saw a woman trimming her little black poodle, trimming the little poodle's face. And we now have a black miniature poodle, and her name is Paris.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I do love those teeny tiny elevators in Paris. We had a tiny, tiny one when I was just there in March. We stayed in a private apartment, actually, because we did an Airbnb. And I was with two tiny teenagers, both very slender. And the three of us could just cram into that elevator, but not with our luggage. We had to do this whole kind of thing where one ran up the stairs and another put the bag in and the other one met it. It was hilarious getting the luggage in and out. But that's Europe. That's France.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that these things that I guess in the moment annoy us a little bit become the things that we treasure and we remember with fondness for years to come.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling, Vivian. To the others, I apologize. But you know what? We will be on air next week. So we hope that you will call or in 2 weeks, because this always happens. As I say at the start of the show, we get so many people calling in. We can't talk to them all.
Well, next time.
Yeah, next
but
time.
For all who are traveling this week, may we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.